Beloved congregation, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, that God was manifest in the flesh. But also that he was justified in the Spirit. The sin of Adam is imputed to all of us on account that we all belong to Adam. The sin of Adam is not imputed to Christ, because he was not from Adam. However, that he had taken upon himself our human nature, with all the results and with all the troubles cleaving upon it by virtue of our fall and of our sin. But the sin of God's people that is laid upon Christ, and therefore, we read in the Word of God that Christ, however he was without sin, but that he became sin, that we would be righteousness in God. And now Paul, he said that Christ, he was justified in spirit. That refers especially to the resurrection of Christ out of death. Because you know the difference between the state of humiliation and exaltation is this, that in the state of Christ's humiliation, that he was standing before God as judge, as guilty. There was no other way for the judge, for God, than to condemn that Christ. Therefore he was crucified on Calvary's cross. But now in the resurrection, in the state of his exaltation, he was no longer standing there as guilty, but well as justified in spirit. And still justified in the spirit, Christ was justified 7 times, so far as we can figure that out in the Bible, 7 times by Pilate, several times by other people too, that there was no guilt in him at all. And now God the Father, he had taken care that even in the deepest humiliation, that he had take care for the honor of his son. We hope in this morning to consider that with you, with the help of the Lord. My text is in the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The title was read many of the Jews. They read many of the Jews. For the place where Jesus crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. This verse. My subject this morning is the inscription on the cross given by Pilate, written by the hand of God, read by the Jews with bitterness and acknowledged by God's people with great joy. It was a custom when some people were sentenced to death and to be crucified, that they placed a sign above the head of such people. With that purpose, of course, that everyone that was passing that place, that they all could read what the cause was, why that person underwent that punishment. And on account that it was a custom always in those days, therefore Pilate, he had also given a sign that there was no doubt left by any man that passed Golgotha, that they were aware what the reason was, why that person was hanging there, what he had done. But of course, in all those other cases, then there was always written a certain accusation. But that was this time not so. It was no accusation at all. It was an inscription that the whole world could see that that person was the Son of God. I would say this morning to you, it was an reminding of what the angel Gabriel had spoken once to Mary. When that angel came to announce to that Mary that she would brought in this world the Son of God. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of God of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And it was not only in Luke 1, but we have an other reminding in the Bible about that title, and that is in Matthew 2, where the wise men came from the east, and that they said, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? They did not ask, Is there born a king? No. There was in the heart of the wise men of the east no doubt. No doubt at all about it. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? And of course, now that Pilate, he had written that sign, but of course, finally, it was not Pilate, but we have to see higher in this morning than that governor. It was God the Father who had given there for the whole world, even for the inhabitants of hell, that Christ was the King of the Jews. Christ came in the world to seek and save sinners. But he came also in the world congregation to restore and to give back what we have lost in paradise. In paradise he were prophet, priest and king, but we have destroyed ourselves, totally destroyed. But now Christ is sent in the world to restore what we have lost, to give back what we possessed in paradise. And now that title, there above the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was as a prophecy for the whole world, that Christ is King forever. And that the whole world have to bow before him. You read in Philippians 2 that every knee shall bow before that king, and that he shall rule forever and forever. And it is by his almighty power, people, and only through his dominion, that we are privileged in our life to bow before him. we never shall bow before the Lord of ourselves. No. And the Lord, he can come with callings and with admonitions and with blessings. Many, many in our life for everybody. But there is no person that ever shall bow with his heart before the Lord. Everybody shall do it in the day of judgment with his conscience. Everybody. But with the heart, it is only the privilege of God's children. And now, the second thing what we have to consider this morning, that was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Hebrew, that was the language of the religion. The Greek, that was the language of the noble men. The Latin, that was the language of the Roman rulers. Or in other words, the language of religion, the language of the people that was honored, and the Latin, we read time and again, the language of the politician. And another thing, that now from that time on, from that time, that there came in those three languages never any changing. Our language that is changing. You need time and again a dictionary. I think I have three or four already in my study room of in the basement that I can no more use. Every time there come other words. You find that in the old writers, in our English writers too. For 1700, you find their words, you take a dictionary from today, and you are in void, shall look for an explanation of those words. That was well in 1700 and in 1800, but so many words they are no more used now. That is in the Holland language also the same thing. That is with all the languages. They call that a living language, a changing language. But now just those three languages, Hebrew, Greek and Latin, that became as they call that languages, that. Thus there is no chasing in it at all. And now this, you read here in the Bible, it was written in Hebrew and Greek and in Latin. There is of course no other meaning in that word, and that is this, that the Lord took care that all that people that passed that place, that there was not the one who had to think, what is now that word that is written in that sign? What is now the significance of it? No. Nobody had to ask that, because all the people could read it. There was people, of course, they could not read Hebrew or Greek or Latin, but they were all the people that knew something of the language. That was now that special care that the Lord took even on the cross of Calvary. I start my sermon this morning with that introduction, that Christ was justified in the Spirit, and that now God the Father, that he took care for the honor of his Son. And it is also remarkable, you find that inscription with all the evangelists. There is only a difference in John, because John had Jesus of Nazareth, that is not in Matthew and in Mark and Luke, but well with John, Jesus of Nazareth. And not to despise Christ, no, but that word of Nazareth that refers there on the cross of Calvary to what we find by the prophet Isaiah in the 11th chapter. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Judah, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And now the word stem, that is the same as Nazare, and that refers to a little tender plant that when it sprouts out, and it is almost, it is so small that you even cannot see it, but later on then it develops, later on then it goes up. Later on, then you read by the prophet Ezekiel that it become a high and a big tree, and that the birds of heaven nestled in that tree. That is all referring to the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. This Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Jesus, that refers to the name Savior, of course. Savior, to save his people from the sin. And we can realize, congregation, that also that title, also that title above that of Christ, that written title by the hand of the Lord, that it had done his work. We can well believe, congregation, that also the thief on the cross, that he has saw that title. How will I say that? I say that for this reason, that the Lord, in the conversion of sinners, in the conversion of sinners, always used his word and his testimony. And after that Christ was crucified, then there was many people that returned to Jerusalem, smiting upon their breasts, trembling, because the Lord, he said by the prophet Isaiah, that his word that shall never return void, but that shall do all his pleasure. The Lord, he used his word and his testimony, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, salvation that is out of that Jewish nation, Romans 9, verse 5. Jesus of Nazareth, he is the King of the Jews. He is anointed by his Father. He is declared by the angels and by the prophets. And he himself had said for Pilate that he was a king. Pilate, he would despise him. He said, do you not know that I have power to release you or to bind you? But then Christ, he said, you would not have that power if it not was given from above. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And he is the one that can deliver us out of the power of the devil, people. That Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, that is the only hope and that is the only expectation that a man can be converted. Otherwise, there was no hope and there was no expectation at all, people. Because we are enemies of the Lord and we are fighting against the Lord as long as we are living here in the world. Unless that will come in time that Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, that he brings down that enmity in our heart, and that we are privileged to bow before him. And as you read in Psalm 110, that he had a willing people in the day of his power. And that will come a time in our life that we are glad with him, that we may read it, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Oh, congregation, we need in our life a prophet to teach us, because we know nothing. And we need a priest to apply his mediatorial work in our hearts, to make intercession. But we need a king to bring us down and to protect us and to take care for us for time and for eternity. Therefore, that title above the cross of Calvary, oh, that title that has such a value, congregation. And now you read in the text this title, there is many of the Jews. For the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. They have read it. They must read it. They must do it. It was for that Jewish people a last warning, a last admonition to bow before him before that it was too late forever. And when that Jewish people saw that, oh, that created in their heart not an humbleness, no, but a madness. Why a madness, people? Because by nature, there is not one man that wants to bow before the Lord. Not one. We think that we are self-king. En wie de remainder al ziet. Dat is in de wereld en dat is in de religion. En even dat our conscience is speaking. You have always heard about that Augustine. You know that. When that man was under heavy conviction. And so afraid for death and hell. Then he cried somewhere, Lord, comfort me. But as soon as it goes down a little, then he added to that, not now. Not now. This title then read many of the Jews. And then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the king of the Jews, but that he said, I am the king of the Jews. And then you can see congregation also in that request that we keep on in our enmity against God till that we fall in hell. Because it was nothing else than enmity. Their conscience, and we all have a conscience, their conscience were convinced that for that Jesus of Nazareth that they have to bow once. Pilate had realized it. Herod knows it. And that Jewish people was aware of it. As that is with everybody in the world. But then still that many will change it. They said, write not the king of the Jews, but that he said, I am king of the Jews. They would not bow and not believe in a despised Christ. Paul, he boasted, and he had the privilege to boast in nothing than only in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if Christ was never on the cross, if Christ never had died, then the curse of the law that lay upon us forever and forever. But when Christ died on the cross, then that curse that is taken away. That is taken away for God's people forever and forever. And we can never realize, congregation, the love of the Father, that he had given his only begotten Son to take that curse entirely away from his people. And the love of Christ, that he had humbled himself so deeply for all for people that know himself as an enemy of God. And that is always fighting against their salvation, people. Right, not the king of the Jews. No. We have no king. We are not looking forward for a king that shall come. We are still waiting for a Messiah. But not for a while this is. No. We are waiting for such a Messiah who shall deliver us from the power of the Roman Emperor and who shall give us a good life here in the world. That is what we want. But not a king that deliver us from sin. Then you can see people that by nature our soul's welfare that is not as a burden upon our heart by nature. No. If it become a burden, then the Lord had done it. And then the Lord had laid it upon our soul. And then there is no rest for the soul of our feet before that we find rest in that King, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate, was he willing to change that writing? No. No. But of course, we have to realize in the suffering of Christ that the Lord is ruling everything, and that the Lord is standing above everything. Because what that title, in regard to that title, that was above the head of Christ, that was so clear as the sun on the sky. And that was also undeniable. Undeniable. It was in God's eternal counsel that that title there was placed above that head. And now Pilate, he said, what I have written, I have written. That was now finally the only time that he revealed himself to that Jewish nation as a governor. Otherwise, all those other times, he was listening to that people. Against his conscience, he had released Barabbas and Christ delivered to be crucified. A strife that was inside in his heart. But he was bound by that Jewish people. But now, and what was too late, now it was too late. What I have written, I have written. No chasing at all. It was, of course, from the side of Pilate, an act of revenge. An act of revenge. He would say, you have vexed me. Now so many days and hours already. And my conscience is polluted. There is a burden upon my conscience that no one can take it away from me. But now for the last time, now I shall not give what you desire. And he would now vex that people by saying, what I have written, I have written. God's people that is glad with it. And the main thing that this congregation better, that in our life it takes place, that we ever have read that title, that was placed upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will talk about that now a little. And then we sing before 2:38. Heathen lands and hostile peoples, soon shall come the Lord to know. Nations born again in Zion, shall the Lord's salvation show. God Almighty, shall on Zion strength bestow. 2:38, the second and the third stanza. And now in the first place, congregation, that title, written above the head of that beloved and precious and excellent Christ, that was a testimony of the innocence of Christ. The suffering of Christ would go still deeper. There was more suffering for Christ waiting after that they have placed that title upon his head. Soon the soldiers, they shall divide his clothes. Because they declared soon that after that he died at Christ, that he never should arise. They shall give him vinegar soon. They shall mark him on the cross. And the worst of all people, when it was 12 o'clock, then there would come a darkness over the whole world, 3 hours. That surety was forsaken of God. That Christ there 3 hours suffered the agonies, the agonies of hell. And when it come to that point, congregation, then we have no words to explain. No. But Christ had suffered when he came to the bottom of hell for his people. But before that he was sinking in hell, I would say in my words this morning, then God the Father smiles to him. And while the Father smiles to his Son, that was in that title, this Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Because even in the deepest suffering of Christ, there was never and never and never a separation between the Father and between the Son. Never. Well, between God and the surety, but no separation between the Son, the Father, and the Son. That was from eternity to eternity. But now the Father showed to that Christ, to his Son, what had taken place is what you read in Psalm 2. I have anointed my king and set my king upon the holy mount of Zion. It is for that Christ. It was for that Christ a reason of joy in all his distress. And it was also a glorious and prophetical declaration that Christ is the King of the Jews, because the word you, that means a lover of the Lord and one that praised the name of the Lord. And now Christ is the King of all that people, this people I have formed, to show forth my praise. And that now is from all eternity congregation, from all eternity, that is the only hope that is left for you and me. For you and me. There is so many people, when you talk about predestination, election and rejection, then they are as a lion, roaring against, for God's people become their different. For God's children become that a reason of joy and of gladness for their hearts. Really. Because if it not was from eternity, people, and if it was not laying firm in eternity, then there was never any hope and any expectation. We find out in our life, people, more and more, that we are without God in the world, and that we have no desire to fear the Lord. No. No. And it is true for 100% congregation that responsibility lay for you and for me all the time, at least there. And it shall be terrible to fall in the hand of a living God if we have to die as we were born. The stone out of that wall and the wood there in that evening out church that shall testify against us in the day of days as we are called to give an account before the great judge. The Bible tells us in Job, in the book of Job, upon 1,000 questions, not one answer. But at the other hand, is it possible that I give myself one thought of it in my heart? Is it possible? No. No. And again, the Lord, he calls us to seek the Lord that is to be found. To call upon him while he is near. We are responsible people. And it is in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, what we ook explained on the funeral Tuesday afternoon. Whatsoever thy hand findest to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And I hope, congregation, you will not make a wrong conclusion out of it. I hope that you not will do it. But when it now has come to the point to start with it in our life, we cannot come from this place to that place without the working of the Holy Spirit in our heart. But there is a hope. There is really a hope and expectation when you look to that Christ on the cross of Golgotha.
But it is written above his head, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. How many sins we have. We have nothing else than sin. Nothing else, people. Commission, omission. The guilt of sin. Our daily sin with worse thoughts and deeds. And we cannot cleanse ourselves. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who can do it. And that King that is hanged there on the cross. Oh, after a few moments. Then he shall comfort the thief on the cross. At the 11th hour. And that's so remarkable, congregation. That is so remarkable. That thief on the cross, and I hope that it was given in your heart this morning. That thief on the cross, he asked not to be delivered from the cross. And he did not ask to come in heaven. And he does not ask for grace. No. He only asked, remember me. Why? Why? You know the depth of it. You know the meaning of it. For 100% geliefd. For 100% that man. He figured on nothing else than to go to hell. That was that he figured out. But remember me. When thou shalt enter into thy kingdom. Dus he would never come that salvation, no. And for such a people now, oh, was my heart filled with it. And was your heart filled with it. Then that was a gospel this morning, wonderful. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. There is hope, people. There is hope for the greatest of sins. But to become a sinner and to lay there as a sinner, then that King who hanged on the cross of Calvary, he had to come in my heart. He had to deliver me out of the snares of the devil. He had to come to pull me out of the claws of Satan and to give me grace to bow before him. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then I am no longer a king, no. But then I become a sinner. And it is now the best place that we ever can receive in our life. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is so lovely to sinners. To people that acknowledge that they are sinners. And that love God in his justice and in his righteousness. And that never will come in heaven that the Lord has to cross his attributes. No. They want only to come there with the glorification of his attributes. Jesus the King of the Jews. there now. I told you last Sunday about Barabbas. And now I will say that again to you. Now we have, till that we die, if we have grace in our heart, then we have to realize for ourselves, congregation, that I am a dethroned king. A dethroned king. And that I accept that with my whole heart. With all my heart and with all my soul. And that there is left here, O God, break me down. Break me in pieces. Make me receptive for thee and for thy precious mediatorial work. Come to dwell in my heart, to remain there, to stay there, to abide there, and never to leave there. Because otherwise then I work myself up to hell. If he would not stay there. Another thing, that blessed king, that he gave him an heart, the benefits of his kingdom, and that is peace and joy and righteousness by the Holy Spirit, young and old, great and small. I hope that if it never had taken place in our life, that in this day, in this Sabbath day, that we may read that inscription above the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ to our conversion and for God's seeking people. For those worms of Jacob, worthy to be trodden down all the time, but that we see that inscription with an eye of faith, with an eye of love, with an eye of requiredness in our heart. To rest in that Christ, in that King, forever and forever. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony. Oh, 'tis all so poor what we can say about it, so empty. But Lord, remember us with children and with grandchildren, travelers to the great and ever-ending eternity. Strengthen that widow that is with us in this morning, where the dear husband was buried this last week. Oh, she had a lonesome life. And it shall be more lonesome now, never to make a visit to him. Oh, remember her with the children and grandchildren, and at all those ways and trials for her, and for those other widows in our midst, that it be to an eternal blessing. Bring us back in this afternoon and evening. Strengthen and sustain each and every one by the manifold labors that lays upon our shoulders, and give us all that we stand and need of. Oh, Holy Father,
Thou hast given to thy son a smile in that title that was written above his head, an acknowledgement that thou also in that bitter suffering had acknowledged him as thy son and as the King of Zion. Oh, give us also a smile in this Sabbath day. We need it. Remember us and bless the teaching for the children, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea, earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. Number 200. Thank you. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.